We wait upon thee, O God, for thy word that fills our life with that joy and gladness. We thank thee that thou wouldst have us be radiant with hope by the splendor of thy Holy Spirit as we live in the power of thy resurrection. Clothe us then in the garments of praise that none leave here in the soiled garments of our heaviness, celebrating thy goodness in the midst of all the gifts of thy creation, knowing that thou hast given that great gift to this congregation of thy word, through which thou dost rule and hold this world together. We thank thee that thy Son Jesus is the firstborn amongst many brethren to bring forth many brothers and sisters from the dead, ever living to make intercession for us, able to save to the uttermost all who come to God by him. For we who have known the overwhelming mystery of his death for each of us are permitted by the power of thy Holy Spirit also to know the wonder of his resurrection life at work even in our midst and through us. For a world that has no hope save in the name of Jesus. Amen. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like ship foil. Remember the great mobile that we had here until some careless basketball players reduced it to nothing and it was rebuilt in miniature in the Koinonia area by another one of our poet scientists, Larry Collins. Enough of it still remains, so you see the shining of shook foil and how the cross continually circles that whole mobile that is to represent God's entire created multiverse, so that we may know this grandeur of God with which the world is charged, not under a gloomy law of the second law of thermodynamics in which we are in a running down world, but in the wonder of a God who is ever at work, and I too am at work, Jesus says, ever creating anew in the midst of his creation. So that particular poem of Gerard Manley Hopkins can remind us that God is not through with us, even though we have been guilty of fouling our nest and have exploited the gifts of God for our own selfish lust. As the poet says, why do men then now not wreck his rod? But God's wrath is upon us who do not cherish the earth that nourishes us. Generations have trod, and all is seared with trade, bleared, smeared with toil, and wears man's smudge and shares man's smell. The soil is bare now, nor can foot feel being shod. And for all this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest, freshness, deep down things. And though the last lights off the black west went, O morning, at the brown brink eastward springs, because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breath and with awe bright wing. That hope is given to us in the text tonight through Mary. As our Lord addresses her in her pain and grief, as she wonders how she might at least serve that dead body, and then discovers in one whom she takes to be the gardener, her risen Lord and brother. It's interesting that in the resurrection of our Lord and his appearances, there's always this element of chiding, of teasing. As he asks her why she is grieving, woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? As though he did not know. You remember the two on the way to Emmaus, and he asked, what are you talking about as you're going on the way? And they stood still looking sad. And they said, do you live all by yourself in Jerusalem that you do not know these events of these past days? And you recall the rest of that story, how our Lord gives himself to them in the breaking of the bread as he does to us tonight, in the breaking of the bread and in the shed blood. We are not under the atomic bomb, not under the age of AD, but under the age of AD, the reign of our Lord, in the year of our Lord. And we know his power at work within us. The resurrection is the dynamic of creation. God has joined the power of his risen Son to his very creation, so that there's this continuous new creation, new every moment. And the mighty God hath spoken from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. And he calls to us to see what he is at work doing. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. I will break up your atom bombs into power plants and your tanks into tractors. And as we are quiet and the power of the resurrection lays hold of us, we can know with Paul that our whole life is to lay aside anything in us that stands in his way, that we are empty vessels to be filled to overflowing with the life that is Christ's own at work in us. And it's through a woman that we have the message, go tell my brother that I ascend to my God and their God, to my Father and their Father. Identified with him in the Father, and knowing that he is not through with us, that we have not exhausted his patience, that he's at work in this earth, even through those who bring this message with the kind of pain that Mary has, as she has given the message. For without the pain, we cannot share the joy. Our Lord says, my joy shall be complete in you, your joy shall be full, when he has spoken about a branch that is pruned to bear more fruit. As we share then in the pain, in the suffering of Christ, to be conformed to his death, we know with Paul that I may attain unto the resurrection and know the power of his resurrection at work in me. It's interesting to me that it's to woman that God first gives the message. The first preacher ordained in the new covenant life is a woman. Sometimes men have been inclined to forget this. And yet our own literature is full of this power of the woman to bring to us this redemptive renewal. We see in Ibsen, for instance, when the boy, the demonic powers are attacking Peer Gynt and overwhelming him, and out of that mystery of awfulness and filthiness, you hear suddenly the voice say, he is too powerful for us. There are women behind him. And you remember Mother and a sweetheart Solveig who are praying. I heard a wedding sermon a few years back that really hit it on the head. As the pastor was saying to a former secretary of mine being married in Seattle, every man has his crazy moments at 4 o'clock in the morning, and it's up to the wife to bring him back to sanity again. And I thought I was the only man that it was ever that way, and I was encouraged to hear somebody else say it's sort of a general law. And I think it is. Julie came to me this afternoon. She says, when you look down, I feel down, and her arm about me was the arm of Christ. For this is the power of woman for man, to continually resurrect us from the despair and depression of our own failure and lift us up anew to be part of this wonder that in Jesus Christ we are identified with God, my God and your God, my Father and your Father. Nothing less is what the Scripture claims for us this night. So no one can go forth from this place not a son and daughter of God, an heir of God and a co-heir in Christ, sharing the power of the resurrection if we are willing to also take part in his suffering. One of the mysteries for me is when there is a kind of theology that's like mathematics, that men work without pain, as if somehow it's coming up with right answers, instead of that touch of healing that can only come from sharing the hurt. We've said so often, we can help no one who cannot hurt us. It's when we leave ourselves vulnerable, as Walt reminded us in his first sermon, that we can also be sharing and relating to each other. We heard that wonderful line in Rudy's poem on Christmas night. I'm so thankful that Herb asked him to write a poem, or we wouldn't have known we had a poet as well as a geologist in our midst. But I'll never look at Copper Mountain anymore without thinking it looks like Walt. Look at it and see if it doesn't. Has something of that same contour. And he said about Copper, in Copper Mountain, a zone of weakness became the resting place for the ore minerals of the Holden mine. It's from our weaknesses that God creates community. It's in our weakness that we find one another as brothers and sisters hundredfold. It's through our weakness that we come into the dependence of this community called the church, the body of Christ, to become membranes of one another. It's in our weakness that we kneel. At this altar, and our kneeling is a sign of our weakness, that we're all the same height. before him who invites us to partake of his own body and blood for our salvation. Nothing less than the facing of the weakness can let us also share in the power. For if when I am weak, then I am strong, for then the power of Christ rests upon me. And this is what he permits to everyone who is broken, the healed. For those who are not broken, on them the stone will fall for crushing. And we live in a world that does not understand that the resurrection is the very dynamic of creation. It lives in a dying universe which men can look down with contempt and use as though they owned it. First little book I wrote, I used a phrase that I'd often use in my preaching when we were destroying atolls at that time that we did not produce and could not reproduce, that grown-up boys with atom bombs were destroying. And we cannot escape wrath when we treat creation with such indifference and callousness. For it is, as St. Francis has sung, part of being our brother. The whole of creation shares in the message of Mary that is brought through this woman, created in the image of God, male, female, made he them, and joined in her message to woman and through woman to his creation. We are part of this ongoing wonder of God who continually nourishes and cherishes us in the midst of all his created good. Nothing less than and wonder and awe, as we sang in the hymn, fills our life of ministry to one another where we are called. To always being reminded that we are to let ourselves be kind to this poor self. My own heart, let me have more pity on. Let me live to my sad self hereafter kind, charitable, not live this tormented mind, with this tormented mind tormenting yet. He says, I cast for comfort, I can no more get by groping round my comfortless than blind eyes in their dark can day or thirst can find. Luther comes to breakfast one morning, and Kathy takes one look at his face, and she goes up and comes down a few minutes later, and Luther looks at her with astonishment, and he says, woman, what's happened? Have you lost your mind? Who died? Because she has her mourning clothes on. And she said, I looked at your face, Martin, and I realized God had died. One way in which women have of restoring us to the resurrection again. And this is the gift that we can be to each other, reminding one another that we are sharers in the resurrection, who are partakers of his suffering pain over this lost, disobedient world. And as we gather then all men into this message of Mary, that Jesus is the firstborn amongst many brothers and sisters, to bring forth many brothers and sisters from the dead, we can call this world to be silent before God until he breaks up our bombs into power plants and our tanks into tractors. And as we are still before him, we shall know that the world is charged with the grandeur of God, that we're not permitted to live in the midst of this fallen world save with tenderness toward one another in it, and to remind one another that though we stumble, Christ never falls. And as Paul says with a kind of irony, those of you who think you're so spiritual, he said, show your spirituality by lifting up the brother who has been ambushed by the enemy, remembering you've got the same flesh. And this way, he says, you fulfill the law of Christ. For this is his law, to be reminding all that they are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, and that God is their dear father and fond, as that one poem ends, even in Gerard Manley Hopkins' delightful words. Complete thy creature, God, lover of souls, swaying considerate scales, complete thy creature, dear, O where it fails, being mighty a master, being a father and fond, like as a father pities his children. And this is God's relationship to us in tenderness and gentleness at the heart of our human existence. And we are joined to God then to fight with him his battles against all the enemies of man, the diseases that would invade and destroy our bodies, the ghosts of our past that would torment our minds, and to let the dead bury the dead and realize that with the resurrection we're given a new hope, a living hope, and we become living hope, rivers of living water, from which men may drink and in which all men may swim. And so he called to men not to swim in their sewer, but to drink of him who is the spring of life, that it may become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life, that they may with us celebrate and rejoice that God has not left us without a witness, that his body, the church, is the sign of his resurrection. And in the midst of his congregation, when we say, he is risen, the congregation responds, how? Hallelujah. And it isn't a conversation, it's Christ's presence with his resurrection power for each of you. And that's why Gerard Manley Hopkins can say, enough. The resurrection. Million-fueled nature's bonfire burns on, but quench her bonniest, dearest to her, her clearest salvaged spark, man. How fast his fire dint, his mark on mind is gone. Both are in an unfathomable, all is in an enormous dark ground. And we gather as a congregation with Jean tonight to be gentle and tender with her in this shadow of death that has come over her life in her son. Oh, pity and indignation, man-shaped that shone sheer off to several a star, death blot black out, nor mark is any of him at all so stark, but vastness blurs and time beats level. Enough, the resurrection, a heart's clarion, away grief's gasping, joyless day's dejection. Across my foundering deck shone a beacon and eternal beam. Flesh fade and mortal trash fall to the residuary worm. World's fire, world's wildfire, leave but ash. In a flash, at a trumpet crash, I am all at once what Christ is, since he was what I am. That's what the communion table says. And we leave the mortal ash upon his altar as we take the eternal life in the broken body and the shed blood. In a flash, at a trumpet crash, I am all at once what Christ is, since he was but I am. And this jack joke, poor potsherd, you know what a potsherd is, I hope, in the ceramic center, the broken pieces of cheap pottery on which the people in Jesus' time wrote their little notes to one another, and from which we find, incidentally, the discovery that one word that's divided all of our Western Christendom into three groups is never used as we have made it in our theology, but the word kenosis, and that Christ emptied himself for us and did not seize upon his equality with God something to be grasped, but became a man obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, taking our place. The happy exchange is what's in that potsherd word. A man writes, please be my kenosis and marry that girl I got with child when I was on leave from the army in my place, answering for me, and I will be responsible for her. Those are on those little broken pieces of pottery. Or a man leaves in a trip and he writes and he says, my friend Johann will be my kenosis in my absence. He will sign any paper for me and I will go good for it. The power of attorney, as we call it. And so our Lord, in a flash at a trumpet crash, I am all at once what Christ is, since he was what I am. And this jack joke, poor potsherd patch, matchwood, immortal diamond, is immortal diamond. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.